This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Oh My Dog with me, Jack D.
And me, Sean Walsh.
This is our weekly podcast where we reveal the most intimate, ridiculous details of our relationship with our beloved dogs.
I have the delightful, spirited Mildred Barrett, who is a cockapoo.
My streetwise best friend is Dolly, the long-haired chihuahua whom we rescued. This podcast sets out to answer the all-important questions like, how do you greet your dog? Do you kiss your dog on the mouth? Does your dog sleep in your bed? And so on.
Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of our chats with our equally dog-obsessed guests who roll over and tell all.
You are very much part of this podcast too, and we want to hear from you. You can get in touch by emailing us at hello@omdpod.com.
And find us on Instagram at omdpod. So give us a shout and follow us on social media too.
Sean, I know you're away. You're in Melbourne, aren't you?
I am, yes. No Mildred.
Yeah, no Mildred. How are you coping without Mildred?
I also have a daughter that I'm...
I was going to say, I love the fact that you never mention your partner or your baby daughter. I suppose that features at some point.
Yes, but I really, do you know what? I think I've said this to you. I really, because, you know, Grace was...
Well, you know, this is the place to say it.
Yeah. But when Grace has been on, you know, mother duties, before I travelled to Australia,
yeah,
me and Mildred really bonded.
Yes, of course.
And I felt like that we grew closer.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. And so I've really, really missed her. Brackets and Grace and Wilder. But
it goes without saying.
Thank you.
In your case, literally. Because you never do say it. But anyway.
that's a different podcast.
Yeah.
Right. But I tell you what was lovely. The lovely Adam Hills.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, he's out here and he very kindly invited me to lunch. And I was so surprised. I didn't know Adam had a dog.
Oh.
And it was so lovely that we went round and I got introduced to, big shout out to Albie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the little Cavapoo. And Albie is short for Albus Dumbledog.
Oh, right. Okay. This sounds like... Have you recruited Adam Hill to come and join us on the podcast at some point?
And I have.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Of course I have.
He'll be a great guest.
Yes. He had no idea that the only reason I was going to his lunch was to get him on our podcast.
And meet his dog.
Yes.
I must admit, I'm a bit surprised because I'd forgotten he kind of lives there because he's over in Britain so much, isn't he?
Yeah, he goes to and fro. But there was a few comedians, like a big comedian's lunch, and I was sat next to Adam, and there was this moment where the lovely Albie appeared in between Adam's legs. He nudged me because he had seen me be affectionate towards the dog, and I was very happy. And I was talking to Albie like he was Mildred, and I was going, "Oh, my little Albie is a little naughty. You're a little naughty thing, but you're just a little good doggy when I'm here." And And Adam spotted this, and he nudged me, and he gestured down between his legs where Albie's head was popping up, wanting food.
Yeah.
And he nudged me and he looked down. And I looked down and I smiled and I went, that's beautiful. But obviously to the people opposite us on the table, that looked like something very different.
That's an awkward moment, an awkward showbiz anecdote that need never be told by anyone. That's terrible. Yeah, you have to be so careful, don't you?
But it was really lovely to just be around a dog. And, you know, I've been in this hotel room on my own.
Yeah.
And you really do. I'll tell you what it is I've missed. Is just that moment. And I don't know if you have it with... I'm sure you have it with Dolly. Where you look round... And it's just Dolly's there, or Mildred's there. They're there.
Oh, yeah, no, it's so good. It's so good. They're just there, and they're with you. And I mean, I've been travelling around a little bit, not so much as I have been, but you know, missing the canine company is a major part of my makeup now. And the thing is, Dolly, what Jane says is that Dolly misses having her voice when I'm not around. Because
Dolly's voice.
Well, I don't think we've really discussed this, but Dolly talks through me. Through me, you see.
Sorry.
Okay.
Well, explain.
I'll take it back a step. Jane is in the habit of often using Dolly as leverage, right? So we might be sitting down watching telly or something, and Jane would say, do you mind closing the window? And I'll say, can we leave it open just a bit longer? Because I'm just a bit stuffy in here. I just like some fresh air. And then Jane will go quiet. And about a minute later, she'll go, Dolly wants it closed. Right? So this became a strategy of Jane to get me basically to do anything, knowing that if I won't do something for her, I will definitely do it for Dolly. And so I had to find a way of striking back or defending myself from this blackmail, essentially. So I now talk through Dolly's voice. So if that happens again, Jen will say, Dolly wants the window closed. And I'll go, is that right, Dolly? And then Dolly will say, no, I'm all right with it, actually. You can leave it. Right? And so, see? So now I've answered that. I've said to Jane, it's fine. I think she's okay with the window open. And so this has become a big thing that she talks all the time now, and that's her voice. Yeah.
So do you reckon I'm over the moon to hear Dolly's voice? Do you reckon I could have a quick word with her, Jack?
Well, she's not with me now, but she could probably, she's in the next room. But if she knows what you were asking, what would you like to know?
Hi, Dolly. Thanks for coming on. We're just wondering, you know. How has it been? Jack's been out on the road doing... Sorry, I haven't a clue. And are you missing Jack?
Yeah, it's been all right, actually. I don't mind so much. It's all right, actually. He comes in late and then we go out in the morning on a walk and that. It's all right, actually.
She says that word a lot. It's her favourite word. Anyway, so when I've been away, Jane likes to... You know, she wants to catch up on... stuff. So, but she misses Dolly's voice when she wants to go to bed. She said, do you want to go to bed, Dolly? And she said, yeah, I'm pretty tired, actually. I've got to bed. And then, so she's got that kind of, that thing.
Well, maybe
I'm not the only person who does this. I'm sure I'm not. There must be others.
Well, I put that out to our listeners that if there are any listeners out there that know their dog's voice, just like Jack knows Dolly's, please send in a voice note. We want to hear directly now from your dog.
How your dog talks. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's an important part of owning a dog is you've got to know what their voice is. I do know someone else who's got a dog who's got a very much gruffer voice, and so she sort of speaks through that in that voice for her dog. And it seems to suit her dog, but that's Dolly for you. And she gets her way, but it has meant that I've at least got a fighting chance of sometimes getting my way, or at least, you know, or Dolly's way, rather, in the house. I don't always have to do something because Jane says that Dolly has said she wants this to happen.
I know that feeling all too well, and I'm going to take a page out of your book, and I will, between now and our next episode develop a voice for Mildred?
It's a great thing to do, you know. When I was very young, there was a programme on the telly, a children's television programme called Animal Magic, presented by a bloke called Johnny Morris, and he used to do voices for all the animals. So he'd go on a trip around a zoo or a safari park and give voices to all the animals. And I really like that, you know, that programme.
Do you think that sounds like that's where you got that from?
It maybe the inspiration came from that you can speak on behalf of an animal. You can channel their thoughts through your voice and help them to express themselves. I mean, it's a good solution, and it's not... I was worried that at some point that might come across as like some weird ventriloquist act or something. And as we all know, all ventriloquists are weird and quite disturbing. Really, when you look at it, it is pretty unsettling, isn't it? When you get a ventriloquist. But if it's a real live animal, I think that's different.
So, you know, so that it's not awkward now, I will just agree with you.
So we don't have an online row about ventriloquism.
No. I think it's brave of you to come out on a podcast and admit that you're going senile.
Well, you know, in this day and age, we're better to do it, you know. May as well come out with it, and then at least people, when they see me, you know, oh, Jack's not what he used to be. I heard him on this thing, and it's pretty terrible, actually. He thinks he's channeling a chihuahua. Yeah. That's where I've got to.
Yes.
That's where I am.
That's where we are. We've got very excited guest today. Friend of both of ours.
Yes, indeed, yeah.
Fred McCauley.
Yeah.
Is going to be joining us, but just a massive shout out. I'll give it a shout out to Albie. But tomorrow is Mildred Barrett's second birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yes, big happy birthday.
And you're not going to be there for it, are you? That's hard.
I'm not going to be there for it. I'm very upset about that. But I thought what would be lovely is, you know, I'm sure you'd be really up for this, Jack, actually, is that, you know, that lovely voice that you use when you talk, not Dolly's voice, but when you talk to Dolly.
Yes.
I just thought you would love, to sing happy birthday to Mildred in that voice. I thought you'd love that.
In the voice I use for Dolly?
Yeah.
Okay. What now?
Well, I thought that's what you'd want to do.
Well, that's very kind. That's very thoughtful of you. Thank you. Yeah, I really do want to do that. It's great. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, here you go.
Thank you.
Here you go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mildred. Happy birthday to you. Yeah.
Thank you very much. You'll love
that. Being put on the spot and remembering all the lyrics like that was impressive.
Yeah.
I get points for that, surely.
For someone that thinks they're now channeling dogs, definitely.
Great. Okay. And then is Grace coming out to join you?
Yes, Grace and Wilder are both.
What are the arrangements for Mildred when she comes out?
Well, Mildred, you know, we're very lucky. Grace's parents live nearby, and Grace's parents have this lovely big garden that they properly look after. So, so Mildred's
great.
There, and she loves it, and she gets very excited when she knows she's going there. You know, when the car turns onto their road, she knows exactly where she's going, and she's
brilliant.
Over the moon about it. So I'm sure it will be fine.
No, she'll have a great time.
She'll have a lovely time. But we've got lots of stuff to do. We've got to talk to Fred, but we've also got some voice notes.
We have.
Well, we've got a voice note.
We've got someone sent in a song, didn't they?
We've got a song.
I think we have got a song, yeah.
Well, yes, because I sang the song to you that I sing to Mildred.
Yes.
You're my little mono. Yes, and so now we've started a craze, and now people are sending in their songs.
Hillary, about her dog, the splendidly named Ernesto Fonzarelli, or Ernie.
Lovely.
As he, I suppose, inevitably is called, in, you know, when you're out in the park, you can't go calling for Ernesto, can you? And he's a Parsons Jack Russell.
It's a great name.
Yeah, isn't it? Lovely looking dog as well. But have a listen to this song.
Ernesto Fonzarelli, he's got a hairy belly. His feet are very smelly. Ernesto Fonzarelli. We sing that all the time. His feet stink.
That's great.
Love that.
It? Yeah, yeah. Very good. I wonder why Ernie's feet smell so much. I mean, or is that they've just made that up?
No, I believe her. I think that It sounds like an Estos Feet Do Smile. That song sounded like a football chant.
Didn't it? Yes, yes.
On a stone once, so really. Yeah. It's very, very hairy.
It could do with a chorus and a middle eight, I think we should say. But it was it was good. I mean, you know, it was... And the first for the podcast, apart from me singing to Mildred and you singing your song to Mildred as well. So but that's the first from a listener, isn't it?
Yes, and I'm glad that I'm not the only one. I had a feeling that would be a thing, and I'm glad that I'm right about that. But I've never heard of dogs having smelly feet.
No.
Mildred, I don't think Mildred has smelly feet.
No, I mean, there's no reason why they would have them. They don't wear socks and trainers, and that's usually the cause, isn't it? But he looks like a lovely dog, actually. Thank you to Hillary for sending that in.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's great.
And let us know also if your dog's feet do smell or there's any other strange problems with your dog. Let us know. I mean, we're not going to solve the problems.
The ultimate would be a dog singing, because dogs do sometimes get carried away with music, don't they? And you get this going on in the background when you play music. So some dogs do that, don't they?
Yes.
I love that. They join in, not realising they're ruining it.
Well,
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Want to be more active this summer? Sierra helps you save on everything from swimsuits to stand-up paddle boards, tennis rackets to fishing tackle. And if that doesn't float your boat, we also have pool floats. Sierra, let's get moving. To your local store, like now. Go!
At Sephora, we know how you love to use makeup, skincare, hair care, and fragrances that work for you, but also how important it is to be in the know about the ingredients that are in them, which is why we created Clean at Sephora. Curated products from brands like Merit, Amika, Summer Fridays, and Fleur that have everything you want, minus certain ingredients you might not. Clean at Sephora is only at Sephora. Shop now at Sephora.com.
I saw a lovely video, because you've just joined Instagram.
Yeah, I have, yeah. I've joined Instagram so that I can do Oh My Dog things.
This is it. I've told you. This is where it starts, Jack. Next, it's TikTok dances. This is where it ends.
Yeah, yeah.
There's some fantastic dog accounts. And Oh My Dog, our Instagram account, we share all of the funny dog videos that we get. And I saw a fantastic one today of a dog that was watching the football on the telly, and when the dog's team scored, the dog celebrated.
Really? Really? Knowing it was the right team that scored?
Apparently so.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
That is fantastic, isn't it?
But I think it's the perfect time to speak to our lovely friend, very funny man.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful Fred McCauley.
Yes, indeed. Let's find Fred.
One of Scotland's best-loved comedians, Fred McCauley, has been making us laugh since the early 90s on panel shows like Have I Got News For You and Mock the Week. He also has recently toured the country with Sorry I Haven't a Clue with Jack. But we don't want to hear about all his amazing achievements. We want to get to know him through his dogs. Hello, Fred.
Hello, everyone.
Fred, so thank you so much for joining us. We've been very excited to... have you on Oh My Dog. Of all our guests, perhaps with the exception of Jonathan Ross, who at the beginning has at times had, 78 dogs in his house.
Yes.
You have four amazing looking black labs, don't you?
We've only got three.
Oh, Fred, no. When did this happen?
Yeah. What?
A couple of months ago, Jack. She was 15 and a half.
Oh, my God.
She'd led a good life, but yeah. That was our beloved Izzy, who I've got to say was a beautiful, beautiful hound. But we've got three. But you guys know what it's like. You get, well, maybe not you, Sean, but certainly Jack.
It's always good to start on a high, isn't it?
Oh, please, do you want to hear about my grandparents? They're gone as well.
Oh, no.
But we had four.
Yes, you had four.
four. And Izzy lived to, I mean, you said she lived to 50 and a half. That's quite amazing, because I've done a bit of homework, very unlike me, but it did say that the average lifespan for a Labrador was up to 12. So that's phenomenal.
Yeah, she did really well.
Amazing.
Yeah, some of her predecessors, Maisie, who was our very first dog, she lived to about 14.
Wow.
And then we had Poppy.
Wow.
And Poppy's a remarkable story, because we called her Poppy and she died on the 11th of the 11th, 2011, on Poppy Day.
Oh,
which is
no.
Wow.
Spooky.
That's spooky. Yeah. That is incredible, isn't it?
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, I shot her. But it's too good an opportunity to miss.
Oh. We walked into that one. Sorry.
That's an old bet. I do apologize.
No, you're good. Have you always had Labradors? Has that been your favorite breed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We got Maisie, who we called Mehi, because that's the way she would have pronounced her name. Mehi, when our daughter was 10 or 11 and was changing school. She was going up to secondary school. And that was our first lab. And we had her on our own for a number of years, and then we got into multiples.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
Have they always been black as well?
Always black lab, yeah.
Is there a difference between golden Labradors and black Labradors in terms of temperament or anything like that?
I don't know about golden and black, but certainly chocolate labs,
right?
They're renowned for being a bit thick.
Ah.
And it was the black labs that told us that. could be racist, I don't know.
I pick up on what you said there about Maisie and Mehi, because you said that that's how she would have pronounced it. What's the story there? Was she Spanish? What was, or just you, or did she have a voice that you had imagined?
It was entirely. I don't know whether it was a physical thing or not, but we always just imagined that Maisie would have preferred Mehi. And maybe it was one of the kids that just decided to call her that, to pronounce it that way. I can't really recall.
Well, this leads us perfectly to something that me and Jack love to find out when we're talking to our wonderful guests. Do you have a special voice that you use when talking to your dogs?
I don't know that I do. Aileen, my wife, she does. She speaks to the dogs as if they were toddlers.
But hang on, so that means that you talk to your dogs as if they were people then?
No, I don't talk to them. So
you have the same. You use the same voice.
Yeah.
Then that's the voice that you use for people.
Yeah. Okay. But I don't speak to them as if they're people.
Which I personally find more absurd than using a special voice for dogs.
Uh-huh.
Like you get in and ask the dogs how work was, or how was your weekend? Yeah.
No, but I mean, I don't think I've got a different voice for them. I mean, I might bring one or two of them in to the room in a minute or two.
Uh-huh.
You can check, see what.
Yeah.
I'll probably end up going, Diggy, Diggy.
Right, okay.
But no, don't have a different voice. I don't think. You can judge me.
That's slightly different, because you wouldn't speak, presumably you wouldn't speak to your wife like that, would you?
No.
So there we are. We're getting somewhere, aren't we, Fred? This is.
I didn't know this was a psychological survey of my inner self.
It's what you started. And did you grow up with dogs?
No, not at all.
Really?
We dad was a cop.
Yeah.
And he once brought home a dog that was needing rehomed to give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember the dog, and I remember the night. It was an English setter, which is same shape and size as an Irish setter, but it's black and white.
Yeah.
And it was fully grown, and it just shat and pissed everywhere. And howled all night. So it was a 12-hour experiment. My dad didn't really have the temperament to keep a dog.
That's the English for you.
Yeah. We've had guests like that over the years.
Yeah.
The signals were all there.
Yeah, quite, yeah. So it didn't last very long. So in adulthood, you had children first and then you got your first Labrador.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And Aileen grew up, but she had a little West Highland Terrier.
Oh, nice.
Again, about 15 years. I think they live quite a long time, these wee dogs.
Yes, yes.
Right.
Called Mac. out of the six dogs that we've had, five girls, one boy.
Yeah. Do you find the girls more biddable and easier to cope with?
I think the only difference I can detect is that Louis, his pee absolutely stinks. And that's the only difference between the male and female. They're both, I would say, they're both equally trainable.
Although the female urine from a dog will mess your lawn up, won't it? This is you get these patches, and that is only from the bitch, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah. Although I'm not altogether. I think Louis maybe destroys quite a bit of shrubbery as well. I mean, he's a big lad,
yeah.
And he honestly does piss like a racehorse.
One thing that interests me is that we've had on the podcast, we've had guests, and we've had, like Jack said, we had Jonathan, who's had, you know, 400
multiples
dogs.
Yeah.
Multiples, but always different breeds of dog. And I think you're the first person, even when we've had guests that have just had two dogs, you're the first person that has the same breed. And so what I'm interested in, as someone that has just the one dog, and only one personality that I have to kind of understand.
Mm-hmm.
When you've got the three dogs now, how do their personalities differ? Because, you know, I've seen the photos, they're beautiful. But how do you, you know, can you really tell which one's which through who they are? Not just the way they look, but through who they are.
Completely. I mean, they're so different. The personalities are so different.
I love that.
Louis, who unfortunately is not with us today, he's through in Edinburgh with my son and daughter-in-law. He's quite needy for a big boyish dog. And he looks, you know, it's almost like he's got a bit of rotty in him. He's got a big chunky head on him.
Yeah.
He's quite needy. He needs a lot of attention, you know. And if you come in and all three of them come over just to see you, Louis bustles in, right? He'd be right in at your knee, desperately seeking attention. And then we've got Tiggy, who is Louis's mum.
Ah, right. Wow.
Yep. Tiggy she's a delight. And where I am in the office, if the door is open, she comes in maybe once every couple of hours and comes up for a cuddle.
Oh.
So I get a Tiggy cuddle maybe once or twice a day.
Yeah.
And she comes up and she cuddles you for maybe 30 seconds and then she just dumps down and walks away as if to say, that's it, you've had it, mate, right? I've got other things to be getting on with.
Yeah.
And then the puppy, Molly, she's a year and a half.
Okay.
She's very independent. I mean, she's...
Oh, right.
Yeah, she's quite different as well. But latterly, she has become a bit more, not, I was going to say friendly, but she will come over and, you know, seek a bit of attention.
Mm.
Molly's not related to Louis and Tiggy. You brought Molly in.
We did.
Wow. And so how did... Well, it seems like you've done this a few times, but how do the dogs take to? Because for me, that would blow my mind to see Mildred.
Uh-huh.
If Mildred, you know, I brought in another dog. This is a new member of the family. You're going to be living with this dog.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I would find that so exciting to see that reaction. Did they take to Molly well, or was there a bit of resistance at the beginning? What was it like?
Well, again, the different personalities come out. And I think a lot of it has got to do with age, Sean, because when we brought Molly into the house, Izzy was, you know, she was pretty old and she wanted absolutely F all to do with her.
Right.
The puppy would go over and she, you know, she was desperate for somebody to play with her and Izzy would just growl and tell her to, you know, get to, as we say in Scotland, you can get to. Louis was interested and Tiggy became a bit maternal. Tiggy's had two litters. So she took Molly under her wing.
Oh.
And, you know, you see them playing together.
Right.
That sort of rough housing that dogs do with puppies. Can I tell you something? Mm. Having litters is wonderful.
I was going to ask,
That is something we've really enjoyed.
Yeah. So talk me through that. Who was the father to Tiggy's litters?
So the father of the first litter that gave us Louis came from a breeder.
Oh, she gets around, does she?
Well, we tried to breed one of our other dogs. We tried to breed Izzy twice, but she was unsuccessful. And Aileen said at the time, I overheard Aileen saying to one of her friends, Izzy didn't get pregnant. She was just doing it for fun. and then added, thank God somebody in this house is getting some fun out of it, right? So Louis's dad came from a breeder, so we sent Tiggy off. Off you go and have your 2 days of fun.
Yeah.
And she got knocked up. And then, rather unfortunately, this is a terrible thing, I have talked about it. Tiggy's second pregnancy was through her son, Louis.
Oh.
boy.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we try to keep them apart, but, you know, nature took over.
We're talking Scotland here, don't forget, Sean.
We actually inquired.
Of course.
We inquired about whether the, you know, what would the pups be mutant or would we have to terminate? But they said, no, the puppies will be fine, but obviously you can't register them as pedigree.
No.
And if you're selling them, you have to let people know. Yeah. And so and when I phoned up for the advice, I said, listen, I think we've got a bit of an inbreeding situation. All right, go on. And she said, oh, hang on, what's your postcode? And I'll put you through. I said, what? What's your postcode? I said, it's G74. And she said, hang on, I'll put you through to the South Lanarkshire inbreeding department right now. I was about 13th in the queue, right? All I heard, da 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 da. Your call is important to us. Dee 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 da 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 da.
So it's a big thing. It's a big deal. But the dogs themselves were fine, were they?
Oh, perfectly. Yeah, beautiful. Wow. We had five boys. Wow. Just absolutely stunning pups.
Five beautiful legs each.
That's right. Yeah. Five beautiful little hermaphrodites. Yeah. Absolutely stunning.
Yeah. So no plans to continue. Because you're gonna breed again, are you?
Oh yeah, that's why we've got Molly, but Molly's a beautiful, beautiful dog, and Louis, as we said, has got previous. Yeah. So we've kept him intact.
Fred, you live, you're quite into your country sports and so on, aren't you?
Yeah.
Have you ever had the idea that you'd take your dogs and shoot with your dogs? Would you do that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Louis trained.
Right.
To retrieve. So he's a fine, he's got a good nose in him.
Is that by you, Fred?
Yeah. I went over to a trainer called Dick Sorley, and Dick trains hundreds of dogs. He's one of these people that you might come across in training who's just got this incredible natural ability with dogs, you know? And I went to him, and, I mean, basically, he's training the human.
I see, yeah.
Rather than the dog. Because
what
it's like?
Maybe I should meet him. He can help me.
But the thing is, Sean, the sort of fundamental is being good to the dog and saying, good boy, like that.
Yeah.
But we say it at all the wrong times. You know, if you're just out walking on the lead, you'll just kind of go, he's a good boy. You know, he's a good boy. And he would say, well, you don't say that until he's done something that you want to give him praise for. It's all about praise.
Oh,
and the other thing is, if the dog goes wrong, you know, growl at her. You would say, growl at her, Fred, growl at her, or him. So, I mean, to see a fully trained dog, and I would say Louis half trained at best, but because the most important thing, and I spend a bit of time looking at gun dog behavior online, is to get the dogs to stay absolutely still, regardless of what's going on around them.
Yeah.
And then they just go out on command.
Oh, wow.
Whereas Louis needs to be held on a leash.
Right, yeah.
And then
told
to sit and then given the command to go out.
Yeah. That sounds incredible to have a dog trained to that degree, though. I've seen a bit of it myself, and it is... it's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but they're first and foremost pets. I mean, they live in the house. I mean, people that are into that kind of thing, you know, going out and retrieving pheasants on a pheasant shoot, they'll keep their dogs in a kennel. But, I mean, fundamentally, ours are pets first and foremost.
It's hard not to add a side of hot, crispy hash browns to your favourite McDonald's breakfast. It's even harder not to eat said hash browns before you get home. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking, because boring is steady, pragmatic, responsible. You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for red carpets, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money, so you can be happily fulfilled with your life. PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865. Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Inc. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger. Feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volbella XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
You mentioned a growl there. What would the growl sound like if you were growling at one of the dogs?
It's just their name, you know, Diggy, like Diggy.
Okay.
Yeah, you.
Would you still use that now if the dogs are maybe misbehaving?
Yeah.
Would you still growl? Because I've been struggling, as Jack knows. Mildred is, as soon as I let her out into the back garden, she's a cockapoo. Mildred is a cockapoo. And we have the problem of she barks when she's in the garden.
Right.
She's fine indoors, but in the garden, she's a nightmare. And I've tried that. That's one of the things I was trying is growling at her to get her in. And it has been working.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's very good. It's very effective, isn't it, growling at the dog?
I think I'm not a dog trainer by any manner of means, but I would say what they need is consistency. So it needs to be that if Mildred's in the garden and she's barking and you're telling her no, like that, or growling, then your missus has to do the same, you know, because this sounds kind of like I'm making it up, but what Dick Sorley used to say to me was, if the dog goes wrong, which in other words means if you're telling it to sit and stay, and incidentally, he would never say stay to a dog, he just says sit. And that's the command that it won't move until he gives it another command. But just out of habit, I would say stay. Yeah. And then you walk away and you kind of extend how far away you go, up to 100 metres or 200 metres, and then you give it the call, come, or a dog whistle, and then it would come, and then it would stop again. So, but as soon as you walk away, say 50 metres, and the dog runs after you, he says it's going to take you between 10 and 20 times getting it to do it right before it gets it back into its mind to do it right.
Right, okay.
That's very good to know. Thank you.
So consistency.
And do you reward with a treat, or is it then you say good boy when they have actually done it right?
Good boy, and occasionally a treat. That's another thing that's important, Sean, is that you don't give them a treat every time. You give them a treat now and again.
Okay.
Just so that it will come in expectation of a treat, but if it doesn't get it, well, you're going to have to make sure it comes again the next time.
I see.
Yes, I see. You mentioned there that, you know, you said that your Labradors are, you know, they're very much pets, very much at home. Where do they sleep then? Do they all have their own individual bed around the house? There's four of them. Do they have their own bedroom?
Three, Sean. Don't bring
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Fred.
I think I've said that before.
It's okay. They all sleep together.
Oh, that's adorable.
Oh, that's lovely.
And when we had cats, the cats used to sleep with them as well. Yeah, but they're dead as well. If you know anybody that's doing a cat podcast, my dead cat apparently is huge. It's number three in the pet podcasts. But no, they all sleep together. And then during the day, they find different wee spots. around the house. Sometimes they'll all sleep together during the day. Other times they'll maybe be in different bits.
Yeah, yeah.
But at night time, all together.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, Dolly is good at finding. She's got little spots where she knows the sun comes through the window. She can do a little bit of sunbathing, or there's another place where there's a hot water pipe underneath the floor. So that's quite nice during the day. They're very clever at finding these little spots for themselves, aren't they? So are the dogs allowed on the furniture?
No.
Oh, right.
Yeah, well, I can understand. You've got three of them, you know. You'd have nowhere to sit for yourself, would you?
No, no. But when Izzy, you know, the old one, she got a bit of leeway and was allowed up onto some of the settees.
Yeah.
And then you could see the other ones going, have you seen this? Have you noticed this? And then they would all try it. I mean, they're so smart. They just kind of, you know, give them an inch and they go, all right, so the rules have changed. Fair enough. Up we come. So we were through in my son's flat in Edinburgh and with two of them. And they were, you know, we took through their bed blanket thing. And we thought, right, they'll just sleep in that. But we were in the morning, a pair of them were up in the settee. So they will, but I mean, in our house, there's certain places in the house they don't get to go, and they're certainly not allowed up on the furniture, but sometimes they do.
Right, okay.
You reminded me at the start when you were saying about having a voice for the dogs. We don't, well, as I say, maybe I do, but I'm not really aware of it. So we've got Tiggy, Louie, and Molly just now, but they all have extra names as well, not their pedigree names. So Tiggy, she gets called Tiggy Booster.
Tiggy Booster.
Yes.
No idea why. Molly is just Molly Mollikins.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I love that.
But Louie, my daughter-in-law, Sophie, she calls Louie, see if I can get this right, Honolulu Kalula Lem Lem Sausage.
Okay.
Yes. Excellent.
That's a catching name.
And they just come from nowhere. There's no reason, there's no logical reason for that.
Well, Sophie is very, very fond of Louie, which is why he's through in Edinburgh with her just now. She just calls him Sausage. Sausage. And it's spelt S-O-S-I-I-I-I-I-D-G-E, I think it is. Sausage.
Yes, right? As it should be.
And I don't know where the Honolulu Kalula Lem Lem comes from.
That's great, though. It's a lovely name, that. Because your kids are all old enough, obviously, to have their own place and their own dogs, presumably. Have any of them got dogs now? Or?
Yeah, daughter Cara and her husband Graham, they've got Walter and Matilda, who are Boston Terriers.
Oh, lovely. And do they get on well with the labs when they come over?
Yeah. Walter, I think, is about seven. And he thought that he might... he was very fond of Tiggy and still is.
Well, he's heard about her reputation.
But, I mean, she's way out of his league.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Fred, I know you travel a fair bit with your work. You know, do you miss the dogs when you're away for a few nights at a time? And what's it like when you come home?
Yeah, I do. And it's great when you come home.
Yeah.
Because,
well,
you know, there's sometimes the huge initial excitement that they'll run up and they'll maybe try and jump up a bit. But it soon wears off. Oh, right, okay, it's him, right.
That's he's back to bed. Back to normal, yeah. And what's the exercise regime with Labradors like that? Do they need a lot? I mean, Louis probably not so much now, but...
Yeah, they get about an hour's walk every day.
Okay.
Some of that is on the lead as we go down, and then we've got fields near us, and then they just let off the lead. And Louie and Molly pretty much exercise themselves. They'll run around all over the fields. Tiggy, I know she's 10. She'll be 11 on her next birthday. She's starting to slow down a bit.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
So do you feel you're not, even though they're trained, you wouldn't be confident enough to walk them down the street without a lead?
No, no.
Okay.
Definitely not. Just because, you know, if there's a squirrel goes by or something like that, then it's years of training out the window,
right? Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
Squirrel!
I think we know the answer to this question that we always ask everyone, this final question, which is, do you let your dogs kiss you on the face, and in particular on your lips?
Definitely not in the lips, but
both
Tiggy and Molly will nuzzle your earlobe.
Oh, right, okay.
They'll nibble your earlobe. Right.
Oh, Jack likes that.
Jack likes that.
I mean, from Dolly. Sorry, that sounded like Jack likes me doing that. No, Jack likes Dolly. This is why we've had to record Oh My Dog remotely, because Jack didn't stop nudging me to nibble his ear.
I thought you were in the same room, just on different cameras.
Yeah, no, we go to extraordinary lengths to maintain the illusion. Yeah. Yes.
Now, do you want me to bring a dog in?
Oh, do. Yeah, we'd love to. Yeah, please do.
We'd love to see a dog, yes.
Hang on.
Absolutely.
This is Molly. And you come.
And Molly is the she's the turning two.
Yeah, come here.
Where's Molly?
Come
this year.
Come on, she's unused to this. Come on, up
there we go.
Mildred loves coming onto
the chair. That's enough.
Oh, hello,
Diggy.
Yeah,
that was it.
Diggy,
camera shy.
No,
she's got stage fright.
She's
Diggy,
gone. She's saying, "Oh, is it Sean Walsh?" No, thanks.
Diggy, come. Come on, Dick.
She's gone.
Come on. Here we go. There's Tiggy.
Oh, if it's Jack D, yeah, I'll come and say
hello. Tiggy. Oh, Tiggy cuddles.
Oh, that was a little kiss on the face.
It was,
it's
yeah.
A good girl. Oh, it's a good girl. It's a good
there
girl.
There you go.
Who's a good girl?
That's adorable.
Who's a good girl? Oh, who hasn't got a voice for the dogs? Who's not
got You've a got voice the voice. He's got a voice.
Who's a good girl?
Yeah, he has got a voice.
That's Tiggy Booster.
You've got a voice that you use for your dog's friends.
There you are. I've discovered something. Tiggy has got the worst breath in the world, haven't you?
I can't believe you didn't know you have a dog voice. You do have a dog voice.
Who's a good girl? What's a good girl?
There you are, you see. You can't help it. People can't help it.
Absolutely not.
She's absolutely gorgeous. We can only sort of see her head nuzzling up to you.
Yes.
So we'll take your word for it. It could be a seal, couldn't it, from what we can see? But it's she's absolutely lovely.
No, it's definitely a dog.
Yeah, absolutely lovely.
Find someone that looks at you the way that Molly looks at Fred. That was absolutely beautiful. Fred, thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, it's been my pleasure, boys.
Yeah, thank you so much. And sharing all the secrets, some of which you didn't realise you were keeping all these years. That's wonderful.
Just one thing to wrap up from my point of view, and it was a thought that I had because Molly has just been in heat, or as they say, in season.
Yeah.
And I wondered if anybody that you've spoken to knows where the expression in season comes from.
No, no. What is it?
No, I don't know. I mean, it's just when they're fertile.
Oh, you were actually literally asking
how. Oh, no, this isn't the right place for knowledge.
All right.
But when Rory Bremner was on, his dog was wearing a nappy because she was in season. And it stopped her expressing bits of blood around on the carpet.
Yeah.
So his dog was in a nappy at the time.
Yeah.
But that's Rory's thing. You'll have to talk to him about that.
I shall go and do some research.
That was a fantastic interview with Fred McCauley, wasn't it, about his Labradors. What do you think of that then, Sean?
Well, I learnt a lot. Yeah. I have to say I learnt probably a bit more than I wanted to about his dogs. but it was... do you know what as well? What's lovely about all of the people that we speak to on Oh My Dog is... you know, we talk about, we love to have a dog, something that loves us. But actually, just speaking to Fred, you could just see and hear it in his voice how much he loved his dogs and how much he loved dogs. And that was just so telling and really lovely to hear. And fascinating about the training as well. You know, we've spoken to Russell Kane on here, and who spoke about, you know, ways of dealing with dogs' behaviour. And obviously I failed decided to not persist on that. But I think I'm definitely going to, with Mildred in the garden, I will update you on that because she needs to stop barking in the garden. And I think that's a really good way of doing it. It's just saying to Grace, make sure that you also do this. We both need to be doing this every time.
Yeah. I mean, there is a logic in that. If you kind of raise your voice when your dog is barking, the dog just thinks you're joining in, I think, you know, and therefore thinks it's okay. So you need to find another way of communicating that. But it is a tricky one. You're right. I mean, because Fred is, he's got a wonderful stage presence that would not belie this character underneath that is a bit of a softie with his dogs, but also pragmatic. It was lovely.
Yes. I'm not sure if we even got it out of Jonathan about where all... Oh, yeah, because I do remember some of the dogs slept on Jonathan's bed and not in Jonathan's bed. But that image of the three dogs... God, I can't get that right! The three dogs. The three dogs. Is excuse me. Mm. That is so beautiful. And I'm desperate to get another dog. And I think that this podcast is not helping me.
No, it's not. I mean, but I don't think it's helping anyone. But if you can get a dog, another dog, while Mildred is fairly young, I think that's because my anxiety is when you've got a very old dog and then you get a young dog. The old dog is bound to think, oh, I know what's going on here. Yeah, my days are numbered, is that right?
Yes.
And so that you've just got a replacement in to rub my nose in it before I take my final visit to the vet. And I worried that psychologically that's what they would think. Although, to be fair, I mean, we did do that with Walter, our old Dachshund. That's why we got Dolly, was to cheer him up because he was bereaved because Darcy had died, and it really it was a real pickup, and it made his last year really a lot happier than I think it would have otherwise been. He stopped being so lonely.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, it was amazing to see. And Mildred might be the same, but I would talk to Grace about it first, see what she reckons. Don't surprise her with coming home with a Dalmatian or something, just it's not likely to be well received, I don't know.
Yes, no, with the recent birth of a child, you're right. Good, thank you. Safety tip. I'm glad I ran that by you. Thanks, Jack.
It's just a hunch.
Yeah, no, it's awkward now that I have to take this dog back that I just bought in Australia. lovely to have Fred on.
Wasn't it?
And great voice note as well. Great song. Thank you for that. Again, to everyone, if you want to send in a song, we'd love to hear it. If you've got a dog's voice, we'd love to hear it. If you have any questions for me and Jack about Mildred or Dolly, we would love to answer them. Get in touch at hello@omdpod.com. And, of course, follow us for lots of fantastic dog videos and Oh My Dog News on Instagram @omdpod. Give us a shout.
And remember, a dog is for life, not just for podcasts.